I'm so already blessed by the fellowship we have this morning. As we were singing and the prayers that were lifted up this morning, I mean, you already heard half of my sermon through whatever God did in the church this morning. I hope that the desire that we have as a church, as a local body, when we gather together, is not to impress everybody, like, hey, just look at this hand, look at these fingers, you know, like, the purpose is so God can minister to each other. So when I come before you, I'm not here like, Lord, just give me a message so everybody's going to be impressed and say, praise be, Sergio. I don't want that. When we come together, we say, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your voice and the needs of others. There's so many things we don't know about each other. We look at each other, we can smile. We can say, hi, we're doing fine. But deep inside, only we know what's going on. And even if I would know what you're struggling with, I can do nothing to change or to help. I can encourage, I can say some things, but when God speaks at his word, things happen. So that's the desire we have as we come together as a church. And the message that God put on my heart today to share with you is found in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm sure you heard about Peter walking on the water, starting in verse 22. I'm going to read starting in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It's one of those places in the Bible where we are just so amazed at how Jesus came and just basically showed that he is God. He can do anything, and he just can even walk on water, do so many things that people were just did not expect that to happen. Just he multiplied the bread and the fish, and he just did so many things, and people were just amazed by that. For me, the most amazing thing here is not the fact, even though this is a miracle, that Jesus walked on water, but what happened when Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. That's a miracle. When a person like us, a human being that's subject to the laws of physics, to gravity, you don't just walk on water. You don't do that. And yet Peter did this. So it was an encouragement for me to look at this and just try to encourage us, all of us, as we face so many circumstances, so many trials. Maybe some of them we know. Maybe some are hidden deep inside. But we are just facing these trials where it's so hard just to step and walk through life through whatever we are facing. So I'm just looking at this, and I just want to encourage all of you today. First thing I want to say that is going to help us overcome this, whatever it's around us, this storm, this water, whatever sea surrounding us, maybe personally, maybe in our family, maybe in our church. The first thing is to understand that it is possible to walk on water because Jesus came there walking on water. They saw him doing that first. It was not something that just, you know, they were just all in the boat. They have multiple times being in the same boat with Jesus, with the disciples. So Jesus was not with them in the boat. And then all of a sudden Jesus said, Peter, I have an idea. How about you just go walk on water? We'll just watch you. He did not say that. He came walking on water, and Jesus did not tell him, now you come to me, you walk on water. It was Peter who was, all of them were just scared, they were afraid, they thought it's a ghost or something. You don't see people walking on water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, you command me to come to you. And Jesus said, yes, come. And Peter saw Jesus walking, and said, if you do it, I can do it too. Probably. He tried. He did not know what's going to happen. But we see here that both Jesus and Peter were in the same, and all the disciples, they were in the same sea, the same water. They were facing the same circumstances. And Jesus overcame the gravity. Jesus was sitting there, and Peter said, I can do probably the same thing if God is helping me. That's why he waited for Jesus' command to tell him to come. Brothers and sisters, we are not following a Jesus who just watch us and just look at us and just says, okay, now you do this, you do that, you overcome the world, you overcome the temptations, you overcome sin, and I'll just watch here how you're doing. He went ahead of us. He was ahead of us, and we just read in John 16:33, he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He was here, he faced the same situation, and he obeyed, and he overcame. And he says, it is possible for us to do that, the same thing too. Whatever we are facing, it's not something that God was not in that situation already, where he's not familiar, or he did not overcome that. That brings so much encouragement to my heart. I believe many of us, if not all of us, if you just want to have a life, you know, for your own and just make it to heaven somehow, I don't know how things go for those people. But if you are a disciple of Jesus and you want to take the life seriously and just follow the Lord, and you just say, Lord, I hate sin. Lord, I don't want to sin, not even a single time if I can choose in my life. Lord, I just want to be pleasant to you. I hate sin, not because just you said it's wrong. It's the nature in me that says it's not okay. Did anybody saw the bug that was flying right here when we were singing? It did not belong there. I don't like it. It's not an elephant. It's not a dinosaur, but it was not supposed to be there. You know, it's just our nature. When we become like God, it's in us, and we just feel good when we help people. It's better to give than to receive. And we just feel that life of God is starting to live in us and just, you know, flourishing in us. And if we just live like that, you know, we feel that the life of Christ is in us, but it doesn't take too long for these people, if you're one of these people, wholehearted Christian that wants to live for Christ, it doesn't take too long before you realize it is impossible to live a godly life with your own ability, your own power. Is that true?
That is true.
It is very true. Like, as much as Peter would try to just walk on that water, he could not overcome that. Best case scenario, you can swim, good for you, you can swim maybe. But you cannot just walk on water and overcome a law of physics. You cannot just overcome gravity just because you wish to say, you want to do that. It is just by the power of God. But it brings a lot of confidence and comfort and courage when we know that Jesus was right there. He says, Peter, come. Look at me. You can do it. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We know this verse. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in most, some, all points, everything, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have Jesus ahead of us, who was tested, tempted in all things like we are. I was just thinking as we pray this morning for our beloved brother and sister, for the great need they have in their lives. And I was thinking, Lord, it's so much for them, for us, to bear some of these troubles we just have, the pain that we carry. And yet, I was imagining, multiply that by millions and millions of people. And Jesus had to have that in a cup to drink. Everything that we have experienced. And He was there. He went ahead of us. Are we ever feel like so weak, so like tired? Say, Lord, I give up. I don't think I'm just able to live this life. I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Jesus went ahead of you, and He overcame. And now He's at the throne of grace, and He said, when you come here, He said you can find mercy and grace. Why we need mercy? Mercy is because that's what they had in the Old Testament. They did not have grace in the Old Testament. We read that in John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is something that was offered to us through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had the law. And yet, God was merciful to them. That's why they bring sacrifice. Whenever something just, you committed a sin, God did not say, oh, never mind, you know, just don't worry about it. He wanted people to visualize somebody had to pay for that sin, not yourself. I'm merciful towards you. But a lamb or something has to die for your sin. And a poor animal had to be killed. Just because I committed a sin in the Old Testament. So people had mercy, but they did not have grace. Grace came through Jesus. It's a new power that God decided to give to us as His followers. So the grace of God came through Jesus. And He said, if we come to the throne of grace boldly, confident, say, Lord, I need both of them. And God says, I'm merciful. Whatever you did in the past, whatever you failed, God is merciful. But at the same time, He says, I want to give you grace. Grace is not for the past. Grace is for the future. For whatever you will face, God wants to give us His grace. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin cannot rule over us because the grace of God gives us the power to overcome that. So when we come to God, to His throne, we don't ask just for mercy. Lord, I'm just a man. Forgive me, Lord. I failed again. We come and say, Lord, give me the power next time to overcome the same temptation. Amen. Lord, help me to be quiet next time I'm tempted to say something that I'm not supposed to say. Lord, next time I'm tempted to grumble or complain, give me, Lord, a heart full of praise and thanks to You, Lord. Help me, Lord. For that, we need grace, brothers and sisters. We need grace. We can look at somebody who just failed. You know, somebody just, I don't know, whatever happened. And we just can be very, you know, compassionate towards a person like that. But if you don't do anything to help them get out of that problem, it's just mercy. That's it. But God said, I want to give you grace too. He wants to give us the grace to overcome. In that circumstance that Peter was, Jesus was there Himself. And He did not just, you know, change the circumstances. He did not transform. He could transform very easily, you know, the sea into, I don't know, concrete or something, you know, like just make some a bridge or something appear and say, ta-da, you know, here we are. He was not like that. The feet were probably wet, everything. The water was there. What happened was the power of God overcame the power of gravity. In the same circumstance, God gave the power to overcome that. He could not, I mean, he could change that, but he did not just change the circumstances. He wanted Peter to see you can walk on water. You can overcome that. What I learned for myself is God can give me the best neighbors. Never annoy me. Never, you know, trouble me. God can give me the best co-workers. God can give me the best spouse, the best kids, the best whatever, the best, you know, when I drive, you know, on my work, you know, I have 5 miles ahead of me clear, no cars behind me, I don't know, you know, but nobody to bother me. God could do that, just like with Peter. God could change and just make the perfect scenario, just walk on dry land like Moses did with the people of Israel when the sea was departed. God wanted to show something more. He said, I'm going to give you power in the midst of that trouble so you can overcome that. When Paul was in prison, God could make just, you know, those walls disappear and just people to come and repent and apologize and all that stuff. He could make so many things, change so many circumstances, and yet God said no. From those walls, mold and humidity and just misery, Paul is just praising God. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. Because we don't overcome by our power. And in the midst of that trial, God wants His name to be glorified. And it's possible by His power. I'm sure you all heard about Ceausescu, the famous Romanian dictator, was executed in 1989 when the revolution happened in Romania. He lived in a bubble. He had his stuff always like preparing his visits, and you know he would just visit a place somewhere. And in the beginning, he was a president for many years. In the beginning, I mean, people understood, you know, they had to like work hard and just, you know, get the economy back rolling and all that stuff. But towards the end of his presidency, people were just struggling, like they would just not have anything to, I mean, they struggled having to eat, or like they had to have like these lines to, you know, get basic like bread and milk and stuff like that. But whenever Ceausescu would visit a town or something, people would go ahead and plan the visit. So they would just go in the stores and they just filled up, you know, the shelves with, you know, meat and bread in abundance, and he would just come and look, whoops. I mean, really good. People live good. Why they complain? He did not understand that the reality was different. People just go around him and change the circumstance. But the moment somebody would dare to say him something, they were very arrogant, by the way, him and his wife. So whenever people dared to, you know, challenge him, and that was visible when he was arrested, and, you know, people start to ask him questions, and he was shocked. How can somebody talk to me like that? And he, you know, he was just like in shock of that. So my point is this. This man had around him the circumstances looking good to him. He liked it. But inside, the moment something was not according to his expectation, he would just be different. He would just judge. He would just, you know, react to that. As Christians, whenever we walk, we go somewhere, God just could put around us like a perfect world. We just go, nobody hurts us, nobody just, you know, persecute us, and we just go and just, man, it's amazing to be a child of God. Jesus said the contrary. People will hate you for my name, for my sake. It will cost you everything to follow me. But he said, don't be afraid. I am with you. And whenever we go, whatever the circumstances, God is with us. We heard already mentioned in the prayer this morning, the verse, 2 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, my grace is sufficient to you, Jesus told Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We heard many times this verse mentioned in our church. It's not because, you know, we just want to just emphasize something more than the other thing. But I think this is a key that we miss, many of us, including myself. Whenever we face a trial, a circumstance, we don't look at this circumstance and say, Lord, give me the grace to go through this according to your will. Lord, you know what I face, and I just experienced this week, I saw something like a battle I was facing, and God's grace was there with me. I can confess to that. God was there. He saw what I was going through, and he was there. He says, my grace is sufficient. And I say, Lord, thank you, because you pay attention and you respond to our needs. It's hard for us to accept to be weak. To accept, to say, Lord, I cannot overcome. But I just want to encourage all of us. It is possible, brothers and sisters, to overcome. It is possible. Because Jesus was facing the same. Maybe he did not have internet. He did not have internet. But he had something that we have. All of us. He had his own will. Every person who is born on this earth, every human being, has its own will. And he said, Father, I don't want to do my own will. Your will be done, not mine. And whenever the Father chose, like he did not play like a scene. He did not pretend something else. Whenever the Father told him, I wanted to choose disciples, he spent the night in prayer. In fact, before this happened, he was in a prayer. He was praying to the Father. Father, what do you want me to do? Who want to be my disciple? Father, when do you want me to go? Lazarus is in trouble. Lord, Father, what should I do? Wait, not yet. But he died. Wait, not yet. He was submitting himself to the Father's will. And that's the same thing we have to do, submitting to the Father's will. But one thing also I want to encourage brothers and sisters, it's not just understanding that, you know, Jesus was like us. He was tempted in everything like us. He was tempted to get angry, to be frustrated. Whatever we're facing today, and he had the free will to say no or say yes. It's not just that. What helped Peter overcome that? It was the trust he had in God's word and his power. When Peter looked at Jesus, he took such a radical attitude. Says, Lord, if this is you, watch me jump and you better save me unless I drown. He did not say that. He said, Lord, if it's you, you command and I will obey. Now that's faith. In God's word. Not my ambition. Not like, Lord, I just want to plant 3,000 churches in Springfield. You better do that, Lord. It's ambition. Even though it's a good thing, I wish it would be more than 3,000. But God came us to follow him, and Peter was there obeying his word. Obeying his word. You know, when we are facing with like trials like this, people who don't know God, they just, you know, they don't know what to do. They just find ways, whatever. But like I said in the beginning, as Christians, we know to swim a little bit. You know what to do in certain circumstances. For example, if Peter had to walk on water, he did not know he can do it, but he said, I can swim probably. He probably could swim. So he could just try that. And I know one of the scariest things for people is they're afraid of just drowning. People who don't know how to swim, it's terrifying. I have seen that. I know in my family, people, adults who could not swim. And whenever they learn to swim, they're just so excited. Look, I can overcome the water. I can just float up, you know, just go. And I think as Christians, Peter could just be happy by swimming to Jesus. He reached him and that's it. We can be happy with just just a little bit of progress. Man, I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus. Okay, I struggle in this area. You know, once in a while, I just, you know, get under the water, but I get up after 3 seconds. You know, I just have to, like, cough a little bit of water out, and I'm alive, and thank God, I'm, you know, next week, I'm falling again in the same sin. I'm just falling again in the same sin, but here I am. I know the Bible, and we just swim like that. Brothers and sisters, Peter wanted to walk. He said, Lord, you stay on top, I want to stay on top. That's faith. That's more than just learning to swim, knowing a few Bible verses here, a few Bible verses there. Okay, I go to church, my conscience is clear, I go back and I fall back in the same sin. I want to encourage you today, including myself, I know it is possible to walk on water, you know, sort of expressing myself, like overcoming things that are not possible to overcome with your own ability. It shocked me when I heard one time a godly man said, I cannot remember when is the last time I was in a bad mood. And I said, I can tell you the day, the hour, and probably the minute when I was in a bad mood. I'm not proud of that. But I look at people who say, hey, I looked at Jesus and at His word, Lord, the greatest miracle was Jesus never sinned in His life when He was on this earth. And He stayed on top of water. And Jesus looked at Peter and Peter says, Lord, I want to do the same thing. And Jesus helped him do that. But it was Peter obeying God's word and just obeying Him, not coming with his own ambition and just wanting to impress everybody and just, you know, go and just tell everybody, here, look, I'll tell you 3 secrets how to overcome anger, or tell you this or tell you that. 3 secrets how to stay on top of water, how to walk on water. Isn't it amazing that we never find Peter talking about walking on water? And he wrote a couple letters. Now, you tell me today, I mean, YouTube is full of people who have been dead and they saw something after that, heaven or hell, whatever, and they just write books and they just, you know, they're popular, they go on shows and stuff like that. And yet, I'm looking at Peter and he never talks about this, walking on water. Not that it was not important, it's obvious, very important. But what I want to emphasize is the desire they had to obey God. And not just, people are eager, they look for sensational things, they want to see something sensational. I believe in God's miracle. I believe all of us do, otherwise we would not pray this morning for certain things. I believe in His miracles and His power to do whatever He wants to do. But at the same time, I know that people are just looking for things that are excited, like excitement, just to see miracles and stuff like that. And Peter was preaching and Paul was preaching, repent, repent, come to the Lord, obey Him, give your life to God and just follow Him. So faith in God's word, that's very important. In Luke chapter 5, we read Peter was just washing his net there. You know, Jesus took one of the boats, it was Peter's. He was teaching the multitude on the shore. And after that, he told Peter, just let's go, you know, let's go and catch some fish. And he told him, Master, Lord, we worked all night, Lord. In other words, he did not want to offend him. We are fishermen. Master, you're a teacher. We are fishermen. We worked all night. No success, nothing, Lord. And he did not stop there. He says, but at your word, I will go. As much as I hate certain sins, particularly, some of them because they make me look bad. An adult person, like getting angry, it's not good. But deep in my heart is the desire that God told me, you can overcome that. You should not do that because it's possible. That's why I want to do it. That's why I want to overcome sin, because it is possible by God's power to overcome it. Faith in God's word, it's very important. When we look at God's word and we just go and say, Lord, you said I need to repent. Lord, you have told me to rejoice always. Lord, you said in your presence there is fullness of joy. Lord, you told me do everything without complaining or grumbling. You said it, Lord. And I want to obey at your word. You also gave me the grace, the power to overcome that. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, to have faith in God's word. Otherwise, we cannot do anything without him. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. But when God sends you and he says, Israel, Joshua, the land is yours. You're going to see giants, but I am with you. You're going to kill them. They're going to run away from you. Because I'm backing up my word. You obey me and I'll just be with you. I'll help you. Whenever we come with the Lord with that attitude, say, Lord, I don't want to impress people. Just go say, oh, Brother Sergio, such a godly man, such a humble, such a meek man. If you seek that, probably God will never give you or me grace. Because he's opposing the pride, proud people. But if you humble yourself and say, Lord, I want your power to be manifested in my life. Lord, I want you to be seen in me. Lord, I just want to see with my own eyes that this is true, Lord. It's impossible for people to do, but Lord, you said it. Therefore, I believe, Lord. I'm not looking just for sensational things, for extraordinary things. Lord, I just want, Lord, to prove that you are the truth and I follow you. I believe God is eager to help you. God can just clothe you with his power, with his grace, because he is looking to help us. He did already everything for us to live such lives, to live godly lives. It doesn't surprise me that Peter was such a humble man. After that, when they catch, they throw the nets and they catch the multitude of fish. You know what Peter said after that? Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, Lord. I doubted you, Lord. I thought I'm going to be like that until the rest of my life. Lord, I thought I'm going to die like that. Maybe you look at your life and you say, Lord, I'll never change in this area. Lord, it's never possible. I am here to tell you. You know me enough to know that I'm an honest man. I'm not here to confess my sins publicly. But I want to tell you, there are sins in my life. I can't remember when's the last time I did them, and I did them regularly. There are other things where I need grace of God still in my life, and I want victory over that too. I don't want to give up. I say, Lord, I want that in my life because you've made it available. We just have to try him. So not just trusting God's word, his grace, his power, but at the same time, we read here when we see when Peter started to step on water, walk on water, he was just sinking. He looked at the waves and he just got scared. And he just, disconnected his eyes from the Lord, and he just looked at the wind and the waves and he started to sink. And he cried out, says, Lord, save me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Verse 30, Lord, save me, Lord. So whenever we come to those moments in our lives where we just started to walk through faith, we just see some victory, we see some change in our lives, people tell you, man, you look different. You behave different. I expected you to do this, but you did not do that. I expected you to react this way, but you did not do it. Don't just go, yeah, it's awesome. At least I made it 2 steps. What if I fail? No problem, but at least I did, try to beat my record, right? Try to go like 5 days without getting angry or anything like that. Peter did not say that. He said, Lord, save me. Without you, I'm lost. Lord, I'm just singing here. Lord, help me. It is possible. I just want to encourage you today, don't give up. If you never knew God personally, maybe you just heard about him. Maybe you just heard from parents, whatever. But you'd never had that personal encounter, like real, meaningful, like to know the Lord in your spirit. Not your flesh, not your emotions, in your spirit. Like to be aware of his presence. When we were singing this morning, I come to that throne of grace with empty hands. I can bring nothing, Lord, but my praises to you. I was just thinking about that, Lord, and tears were in my eyes. I said, Lord, I just help me never forget that, Lord. You are right here. You are in our midst. He is here for those people who have eyes to see spiritually, and he's eager to help us. I lived many years
with a lie back in my mind that Jesus never was, he was never exposed to the things I'm exposed today. Therefore, probably if he would just live today in 2026, he would just still overcome. But at least I said, okay, I know he was here with me. We live at the same time. He knows exactly what we're talking about. It was a lie. He came in the flesh, the Bible says. He was exposed to the same things. So I had to give up that lie. Say, Lord, if you live 33 years and a half without sinning once, Lord, I can do it too by your power. I have to step out, not at my own ambition, my own desire. I'm just going to jump out and say, Lord, you better catch me. At your word, you told me to repent. I repented. Lord, you told me sin to not rule over me. Lord, I don't want that. You told me to not complain or get angry. I want to do that, Lord, at your word. I'm just humbling, asking for your help. It is possible, brothers and sisters. It's possible to come closer to the Lord, have a life full of victory. Have a life full of victory. Don't just be the kid who is happy to swim. At least I can stay on top of water. Be like Peter. Lord, save me. Put me on top. I go through these hard times. All of us have them. I have my own. And I know it's possible to go in this life and just be carried by God's grace and power. And even when Jesus was left alone, he did not say, well, what am I going to do now? He was faithful to the last moment, till the cross, until he died, because he trusted his Father. Trust the Father in heaven. Don't be scared to walk on water. Gravity will try to pull you down. Satan will tell, no, nobody did that. No. How dare you live like that? I mean, you want to say thank you for this? You know, one of the hardest things for me to do is to thank God for everything. Including this morning, I had to say, Lord, thank you for things that are painful in my heart and my life. But I know he works in those circumstances. And same thing, he can work in your lives. We just have to come and say, Lord, give us faith, Lord. You know, like the blind man who was healed, he see people, but he did not see clearly, like trees. He could say, man, at least I can orient myself. And Jesus asked him, do you see? He said, Lord, I don't see clearly. And he did a second time, and he could see clearly after that. Come to the Lord full of faith, confidence. He understands you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you his grace. May the Lord help all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for proving that you can overcome sin. You, Lord, overcame the laws of physics, the gravity, Lord. Lord, and the best of all was that Peter could do the same thing, Lord. Even though he was just a man, you helped him, Lord, just to prove to us, Lord, to help us, to encourage us, that we also, Lord, can overcome. We'll probably never walk on water, Lord, but the greatest, Lord, struggle we have is sin. And the first promise you gave us in the New Testament was that you came to save us from our sins, Lord. Not that we just can impress people with certain whatever miracles, Lord. You came us to save us, Lord. So we ask, Lord, for your grace, for your power. Whatever we are facing, Lord, it is possible with your power, Lord, to overcome. So I'm asking, Lord, for your grace, for mercy. So we, Lord, can stay on top of this world to overcome like you did and follow you, Lord. Help all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.